Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I read through this lesson about Elijah, I guess it's always raised a question with me, and the question is simply this: what does it mean to live in the strength of the Lord? First, it means that we rely on the Lord's power in our lives instead of relying upon our own strength. And secondly, it means that we put our confidence in God when we run into those hard obstacles of life, when we run into stiff opposition, when others might be tempted to rely upon themselves. When reading the Old Testament, there are clearly times when the prophet Isaiah is living in his own strength, and there are other times when he is living in the strength of the Lord. The difference, in fact, is so pronounced in Elijah's life. The change is so profound and noticeable that it's almost as if there were two Elijahs. There is the Elijah in our lesson for this evening from 1 Kings chapter 19. That Elijah we find fearfully cowering in the corner of his cave, hiding from his enemies and wanting to cast off the mantle of being a prophet. And then there's the other Elijah that we read about elsewhere, who fearlessly confronts the evil king Ahab and the false prophets of Baal. The Elijah in our lesson is running from the evil queen Jezebel in terror when he finds this cave, and he is exhausted. He has forgotten that the Lord has supplied his strength, and now his strength is all gone. And so he, forgetting to live in the strength of the Lord, he begins to look for strength in human numbers. He looks around. He thinks about Israel as he knows it, and he realizes, at least he surmises, that he is the only one left in Israel who remains faithful to God, and that is his lament. This Elijah fears that he is the only one left and that he is going to have to face all the threats of God's enemies alone. Of course, the Lord reminds Elijah that that isn't true, that the Lord still has 7,000 in Israel who, though you can't see them, remain faithful to the Lord like Elijah. And perhaps more importantly, even if Elijah had been the last believer on earth, the Lord would have surely given him the strength to do so. But in his sinful weakness, a weakness that I can identify with, this Elijah just cannot see the big picture, and so he can see no way out of his problems. How different from the much more courageous and historic version of Elijah that we normally think about and read about in other places of the Old Testament, as we do see him living in the strength of the Lord. The Spirit-empowered Elijah is this larger-than-life prophet, as great or greater than Moses. And he is that prophet because the Lord's power has been at work in him. This, my friends, is the Elijah who won't back down. In the face of evil, even though he is outnumbered by 450 false prophets of Baal who are blaspheming Yahweh, instead, he gets in their faces. He challenges those prophets to a contest because he is determined to prove that Yahweh is the true and the living God. He is out there to prove that their God is nothing more than an idol of stone. This Elijah, living in the strength of the Lord, is bold. He's brave. He's brash. And that's because he is not relying on himself, but his boast is in the Lord. This Elijah, when he is filled with the Spirit of the living God, is then an entirely different person from this other intimidated Elijah that we see hiding in the cave. That Elijah can no longer face the world, and he cannot keep from worrying about his own personal destruction. But the Elijah who lives in the Spirit of the Lord and in his strength is unstoppable. He is unflappable. Because he is living by God's power and he knows it, and he is doing God's will, and he is relying on God's protection. How unlike the other Elijah who runs and hides, forgetting that the power of God is available to him, he has given up. Now, there are not two Elijahs in the Bible, but only the one. What we are seeing is what happens to Elijah when he starts living in his own strength instead of walking in the Spirit of God. His life becomes unraveled and begins to fall apart, so that what you should expect and I should expect when we attempt to face the challenges of life in our own strength is the very same thing. You should not be surprised when your life starts to fall apart, even though God gives you the ability to grow spiritually through your suffering. You and I are often very ungrateful to God for this, when God uses human suffering to show us a better way. And so as we all have the tendency to be self-reliant, autonomous sinners living in our own strength, we are apt to go in one of two directions, and neither of them is profitable for our salvation. First, in pride, isn't it all too easy for us to become convinced that we are succeeding in life without God and we really don't need God? Even the seasoned and mature Christian has to admit the times that he or she feels that way. Spiritual pride in us gives us the urge to be free from God and to rely on our own strength to get us through the ups and downs of life. The other possibility is that in despair, we become overwhelmed by the problems that we are facing in our lives, and we are overcome by pessimism, a pessimism that God never intended for his people. We need to be careful to remember that since nothing is impossible with God, that God is the God of positive outcomes, that we should rely on the Lord and his strength. When facing obstacles in life in our own strength, we sometimes forget that it is always God who wins the battle. People who look to their own strength frequently take credit for those victories whenever we succeed in life. But those very same people who forget God in times of success are the same people who are quick to blame God whenever suffering or any kind of setback enters their lives. When we live for ourselves, we live in our own strength. My friends in Christ, it is only when you begin to live for Christ that you also begin to live in the strength of the Lord, the strength that He supplies. For in Christ, God is calling you to do big things, things that by your own strength would be impossible for you to do. For example, your God in Christ calls you to forgive in His name. And your God in Christ calls you to love and to serve others in His name. Those are not easy things for us to do or to accomplish on our own. As sinners, we struggle with that. We cannot adequately forgive others or love others or serve others out of our own strengths. We can only do these things when Christ our Lord gives us the will and the desire to do them. And that only happens when we depend upon His grace and His strength. We may want to be good and godly spouses or parents or workers or citizens, but I guarantee that it is only the Spirit of Christ living in you that can actually give you the power to be those things and to do all those things. I have always loved Elijah. I've always identified with him. I've always thought, out of every biblical character, I am the most like him. In fact, I have noticed over the years how much I am like Elijah. There is me when I live in my own strength, and there is me when I find myself living in the strength of the Lord, and the difference is remarkable. When I neglect reading God's word, and oh yes, pastors do that, when I falter in my prayer life, when I forget about what I'm doing as I receive the sacrament, or when I just become self-absorbed, I notice something. I become fearful and frustrated. I become very much like that worn out, weak, and yes, wimpy Elijah that we find in our lesson hiding in that cave. Like that Elijah, I find it too easy to become cynical about life, pessimistic, and afraid. I waver in my faith, and I wonder about God's true intentions for my life. And like this Elijah, I can quickly forget all the promises of God that God has ever shared with me in Christ. And I can easily forget that my strength, whether I am living or whether I am dying, must come from the Lord. However, when I am in frequent study of the Bible, when I'm reading Christian theology by godly men like Luther, when I'm listening to sermons, when I'm fervent in prayer, when I'm filled with the knowledge of God's will, and when I'm focused on Christ, I become a completely different man. I become very bold in my faith, just like Elijah. I'm quite literally a different person. For now, I am not that person who is still living to sin, but I am that person who has been renewed in Christ. I find that I am much bolder and braver when I immerse myself in the Holy Scriptures, for that's when I find myself living in the Lord. That's because when I am living in the strength of the Lord, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who is living in me and who is giving me the strength. I'm guessing this is also you. And I'm challenging you to go home and think, which Elijah are you? Are you the Elijah that is living in fear in the cave? or the Elijah living in faith up on Mount Carmel challenging the prophets of Baal? Are you living completely reliant on your own strength to get you through, or are you residing and living in the strength of the Lord? Are you living confused about the direction that your life has taken, and are you disappointed? Or are you confident that God is in control of your life and He is always guiding its course? Are you confident of God's love for you based upon what you think is your keeping of God's laws and commands? Or are you relying on Christ alone to make you right with God, confident through Him of God's enduring love for you? The truth is, we're both. But it's also true that we should prefer the bold and brave Elijah to be that man who's living in the strength of the Lord. Because, my friends, if you haven't already figured this out, you need to know that one day your strength will run out and you will be taken by surprise and you may even fall into despair, deep despair. You also need to know that our faithful God in His faithful word has the power and wants to use that power to make you a bold believer, a believer who lives in the strength of the Lord, a believer who others know as bold and courageous and brave in the Lord. Not because we are bold and brave and courageous, but because our God is with us. May God grant this to you all. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.